Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
I'm your host, Mark Levin, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. When Vladimir Putin wants to control criticism of him, it's actually quite easy for him to do. He shuts down independent news organizations. He puts in jail people who criticize him. He makes sure that all the available news sources praise him fulsomely. And the Russian people know that they can't speak out against him or they'll go to jail. His behavior is that of a typical dictator. Now, we forget sometimes when we talk about Russia that there was a period of time in between communism and Putin, when Russia had, while I won't call it free, I would say a relatively free press. Gorbachev brought the nation out from communism, kind of just helped destroy the Soviet Union, and a guy named Boris Yeltsin, who, though he had his issues and certainly drank a lot, was a Democrat and did believe in democracy. And in fact, he's the one who pulled Russia out of the orbit of the Soviet Union. And he allowed for criticism, actually quite severe criticism in the Russian press. When Putin took over from Yeltsin, he knew that one of the first things he was going to do is return Russia to a one-party state, to return Russia to the dictatorship that it had been under the Soviet Union for generations. And one of the first things he had to do was to shut down a free press. So one by one, first what he did is he attacked the free press in Russia, called it fake, called it lies, and then one by one he began shutting them down, while at the same time promoting media friendly to him. And frankly, people got the message, right? He didn't have to hit them over the head. They saw which way the pendulum was swinging, and those media outlets that were not expressly pro-Putin became pro-Putin pretty quickly. That's how a dictatorship works. So that today, the Russian media is entirely pro-Putin. There are no independent voices. Independent voices are either killed, exiled, or somehow shunned. And we have to remember that Putin did this in a relatively short period of time. We're talking like a decade. Now, it's true that Russia, formerly the Soviet Union, did not have the kind of press freedom and traditions that the United States has had ever since the First Amendment was put in the Bill of Rights back in 1791, 225 or so years ago. We should have a celebration of the First Amendment. So it was easier to stamp out the really nascent Russian free press that was just coming aboard. But it is important to remember that Putin did not take over directly from the Soviet Union. He did not exchange that dictatorship for his. There was this rough period of a proto-democracy that he had to stamp out. And again, he did so by favoring press that supported him, by viciously attacking press that opposed him. And yeah, he went so far as to use occasional violence to make his point, but he didn't have to do it that often. Why am I talking about Vladimir Putin and the way he stamped out a free press? Well, you've probably figured it out by now. Donald Trump is taking some clues and cues from Vladimir Putin's playbook. There are differences, to be sure. As I said, we have a history of a free press that's lasted 225 years. But already, long before Donald Trump, we saw inklings of a press and a media that's less free. And that may seem counterintuitive, given that we have more with social media. We have more freedom as individuals to speak out than ever before. Everyone can post their views on Facebook, and if your views are good and interesting and entertaining, they can be seen by millions, whether on Facebook or YouTube or even Donald Trump's favorite, Twitter. So how is it in an expanding social media universe, which was expanding long before Donald Trump became president, how is it that Donald Trump is trying to crack down on legitimate media to create a propaganda outfit for himself? Again, just in comparison, there is a news, I won't call it news, there's a propaganda channel by the name of RT, Russia Today, although they try to call themselves RT to cash, sometimes to hide the fact that they really are from Russia. And I know RT pretty well. In fact, I was a commentator on RT, oh, maybe 24 times over the course of my my time in punditry. Never took any payment from them that I can recall. I don't think I did, which differs me from someone like Mike Flynn. No, I don't think they ever paid me. But what they did do is they tried to use me to help Russian propaganda. In fact, I think I came to their attention in the Bush years when I was pretty loudly against George W. Bush and his policies. But what RT didn't understand about me, Mark Levine, and it shows kind of their failure to understand America, is that as much as I strongly oppose George W. Bush's policies, I'm one of the most patriotic Americans you've ever met. I don't think I'm that dissimilar. I think most of us are pretty patriotic in the United States of America. We can strongly oppose George W. Bush, just like I strongly oppose Donald Trump, and do so not because I hate my country, but because I love my country. Because I love my country, I want better than these two presidents. And frankly, compared to Donald Trump, George W. Bush was only a terrible president, not well, there are just no adjectives. There are just no adjectives. Mark says an international crisis, a disaster. So what happened is they brought me on the show. They asked me questions about the president. I was critical of George Bush. I wasn't going to change my views just because I was on their propaganda channel. But at the same time, I praised him standing firm against Russia. They didn't like that very much. And anyway, my career on RT ended after I strongly attacked Vladimir Putin for his supporting the massacre of, at that time it was tens of thousands, today it's hundreds of thousands, of innocent Syrians. They tried to shut me down during the broadcast, and at that time I knew it would be my last show, and I brought out all the different media in Russia that Putin had squelched, and I wanted at least those that watched RT to understand that I understood this was the Putin censorship network. I'm giving all these details for a reason. A video came out yesterday, I think, a tweet, that showed an old reality show, entertainment type thing, with Donald Trump wrestling Vince McMahon, the WrestleMania billionaire who promotes that entertainment that is worldwide wrestling. Now, unless you're a Trump supporter, the vast majority of us know that worldwide wrestling is fake. Of course it's fake. It is entertainment. A lot of times you can even see it. You see them pull their punches. Frankly, it's never really looked real to me. But for people who want to see that act, I'd rather see real sport, frankly, than people pretending to be sport. But okay, it is a very popular business. And it's all about, well, really it's Donald Trump's specialty, right? It's about exaggerated talk, exaggerated actions, exaggerated violence. It's all about fake news entertainment. It's not even news, just fake entertainment. And, you're supposed to go in the ring and say horrible things about your opponent. And worldwide wrestling brings out, people bashing each other with chairs and basically as much flagrant displays of excess as can be imagined. And there is a clip, and again, remembering where Donald Trump comes from, remembering the world he lives in, remembering, frankly, the world he's much more closely identified with, the tabloid world, there's a clip of Donald Trump pretending to, pound Vince McMahon. And he goes off the ring and pretends to punch him, and again, I don't find this entertaining, but many Americans do. And that's, 10 years old, something like that. Anyway, there's now a tweet that the President of the United States has put out. Presumably, I think he got it from this. There's this guy that does a lot of racist and anti-Semitic work. And, of course, Donald Trump follows a lot of racist and Jew-hating people because, well, those are his fans. And so he found the clip, and what it shows is the – it's almost easier to see than to explain, but it shows the Donald Trump beating up – pretending to beat up someone outside a wrestling ring, and the someone's face is covered. It's Vince McMahon, but it's covered with the logo of CNN. So the Donald Trump is seen beating up, punching CNN on its back. And the president of the United States, not one of his supporters, the president of the United States tweeted that he's pummeling CNN. Let that sit for just a moment. There are many, many examples I want to talk about in media manipulation today, but let that sit for just a moment. Is the president promoting violence against CNN? Like most things Donald does, it is both silly and dangerous. And that's a weird concept for Americans to put together. It's a weird concept for anyone to be silly and dangerous. Kind of reminds me of that old Charlie Chaplin film, silent film, The Dictator, where he's got two people in a barber chair. One is supposed to be Hitler, one's supposed to be Mussolini, and each one is pushing the barber chair higher and higher and higher because they're supposed to be the better dictator. And it's all kind of funny in the 20s. It would seem much, much less funny in the 30s and the 40s. But that's who Donald Trump is, right? It's to be silly and dangerous at the same time. It's a wonderful way to wink, wink, nod, nod to your supporters, right? His supporters can say, yeah, no, we don't take it seriously. We don't take it seriously. And at the same time, he's getting the message across. The mainstream media is dangerous. They deserve to be pummeled. And I want you to think what it means for Americans to cheer on an attack on a news organization that's just trying to get the facts right. And listen, hey, CNN makes lots of mistakes, and I'm more than happy to talk about CNN's mistakes. But I don't think anyone could doubt that as a news organization, they are trying to be fair. They're trying to get the facts right. It actually reminds me a lot of George Orwell's book, 1984, where the attack is on the phrase 2 plus 2 equals 4, as they try to teach everyone that 2 plus 2 equals 5. Anyway, this is just the beginning of a discussion. What I want to have the entire hour, I want to talk about the attack on MSNBC hosts Mika Brzezinski and also the loose of the tabloids, and really how all this insidious media bashing is playing to Donald Trump's advantage. Call in if you like, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Talking about media manipulation, and I began the show talking about Vladimir Putin and how he took over, well, I won't call it a free media, I'll call it a free-ish media. There was a period in Soviet/Russian history when the Soviet Union was collapsing and where Russia was, if not a democracy, it was on its way to being a democracy. I mean, it had a semi-free press. That was that brief period of time between Gorbachev and Putin. Yeltsin was incompetent, but he did largely believe in democracy. So I talked about how Putin managed to shut down the organs of a free press in Russia, and now it's basically a one-party state. And there's certain comparisons, I think, that matter, and we need to look and see what Donald Trump is doing. Let me just give you a few examples, and then I'll expound more in the second half of the hour. We talked about the tweet where he's beating up CNN, right? That's important. His attacks on Mika Brzezinski, which in some way I thought were overblown, not because they weren't terrible and sexist and mean, but because anyone who surprised Donald Trump is terrible, sexist, and mean, wasn't listening. But what's important about to me is the attack on the media, and specifically more important than him being terrible, sexist, and mean is the fact that he appears to have been trying to blackmail them by using the National Enquirer. And I want to talk in the next half hour about Donald Trump's connection with the National Enquirer, which he's had for decades now. It's a typical tabloid relationship whereby he gives them good copy that sells them lots of newspapers, really outlandish, extreme stuff, whether it's, you know, cheating on his wife or, you know, making brash, impossible promises or largely just being flamboyant and rambunctious. And in return, they have made a practice of spiking stories negative to Donald Trump and promoting stories favorable to him, including vicious false attacks on Hillary Clinton. In this way, the National Enquirer is acting very much like the pro-Putin media. So just as Vladimir Putin began his attacks mostly by claiming that the free press in Russia, such as it existed, and there was some for a while, was lying and telling untruths, and then he had to, you know, follow up with a little bit of hardball, and by lavishing money and attention and praise to that those that are pro-Putin, and the media in Russia got the idea very fast. Donald Trump is trying to do the same thing. He's trying to bash the CNNs of the world, the MSNBCs of the world, and to promote those media organizations, whether it's Breitbart or, National Enquirer or Fox, that support his agenda. And so now they're even going to the point of closing down press briefings. Turning off the cameras. Can you imagine a press briefing where they turned off the cameras? It's unimaginable before Donald Trump. And even at the press briefings, only calling on the propaganda outfits that are favorable to Donald Trump. This is how fascism takes over the media. And I realize, as I said in the first part, it's a lot harder to do in America than it was in Russia. We have 200 years of tradition on our side. But let no one dispute that this is Donald Trump's goal. I'll talk more about it after the break. You want to call in? 888-48. Inside Scoop, I'm your host, Mark Levine. Today, I want to explore media manipulation. We talked about how it works in Russia, how Vladimir Putin shut down the nascent free press in the in Russia, and in the nation that came out of the Soviet Union, and basically by promoting his allies and punishing his enemies has turned it into a propaganda outfit for him. Just like RT is. So I want to think about that with Mika Brzezinski. A lot of talk has been made over the fact that it was, of course, sexist and cruel, what he said about Mika. Frankly, that talk surprises me, because who didn't know Donald Trump was sexist and cruel? Does anyone remember, you know, Miss Venezuela, I think it was? Or, you know, has anyone actually forgotten the Access Hollywood tapes? Has anyone, forgotten that there are dozens of women that say that Donald Trump sexually assaulted them? Really? I mean, that was not surprising to me. It was just crazy to me to see all these Republicans say, hey, Donald, stop that. It was like that was new or surprising. I mean, I guess I'm glad they did. Obviously, it's sexist and cruel. But to me, that was not that interesting. We've all long known that Donald Trump is sexist and cruel. Call him out, sure. But the more interesting thing to me was because she was a journalist, and that specifically he said, in effect, if you criticize me, if you say something bad about me on the national media, I'm not going to attack your views. I'm going to attack you. I'm going to attack you personally. I'm going to do an ad hominem attack. I'm going to find something personal about you that you may not want disclosed, like plastic surgery, and broadcast it all over the place. And by the way, I mean, Donald Trump colors his hair, right? So what's he hiding? You know, what's he complaining about? But anyway, so he's not going to say, Mika Brzezinski, you're wrong when you said about me this and such. He's not even going to say, Mika Brzezinski, you are a bad journalist for this reason. he's going to attack her personal appearance. He's going to go after her personally. And in fact, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski have alleged something far more serious. They have alleged Donald Trump is committing blackmail. And frankly, when it comes down to believability, between believing Donald Trump or believing Joe and Mika, I believe Joe and Mika. Let's remember what Joe and Mika did, because I'm not necessarily huge fans of Morning Joe. Joe and Mika largely promoted Donald Trump for months during the Republican primary when he wasn't getting that much press, when he was seen as just a gadfly, which of course he never changed from being a gadfly, just this showman, just this reality star guy, someone with no more seriousness than, say, oh, Ben Carson, someone who's just running to promote his books, which, by the way, is the reason why I think he ran to begin with, to promote his brand and to make a lot of money off of it. He never dreamed in a million years he would become president, and he's made that very clear from the night when he had a speech. He didn't have a speech ready for victory. He only had a speech ready for defeat, to the fact that he still says, hey, can you believe I'm president? Clearly he doesn't. So at that time, when free press was so important, that's when Joe and Mika were promoting Donald Trump. And they were doing it for their ratings, let's be fair. That's why a lot of the media promoted Donald Trump. No one took him seriously. Donald Trump didn't take himself seriously. They were promoting him to promote their to get more viewers for their show. You know, if Arnold Schwarzenegger, well, that's largely, I guess, how he became governor of California. But, you know, it could be anyone, right? Katy Perry, if she wants to run for president, she could run and promote her albums. And maybe, you know, get more people to listen to her and sell more music. Frankly, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, right, is now talking about running for president. I think, again, largely to promote his brand. That's why Donald Trump did it. Anyway, I'm getting a little bit off topic. But my point is Mika and Joe were Donald's best friends. Not because they agreed with his politics. What politics? Donald Trump just says anything. They did it for their own ratings. Okay, that's largely what the media does. Obviously, I'm not defending them. But the point is, they went from his allies to his, if not enemies, let's just say his critics. Because they saw what Donald Trump was doing to the country, and they became progressively more sharp in their criticism. Donald Trump then threatened to use the National Enquirer to punish them with personal stories. He gave a heads up with the facelift. And basically, he was saying, hey, I got a lot more here. Now, that's a crime. It's actually a serious crime. It's called blackmail. You cannot, don't do this, folks, you cannot say to someone, if you're not nicer to me, if you publicly criticize me, I'm going to disclose something private that you wish were kept private. That's called blackmail. It's not a misdemeanor either. It's a felony. It's a pretty serious felony. It's not murder one. But it's more serious, say, than robbing a convenience store. It could put you in jail for a few years. It is indeed a high crime. It's a felony. It's not a misdemeanor. Now, I don't know who's telling the truth from my own knowledge. Obviously, I don't know what Mika and Joe were up to and what Donald accused them of. But I do know this. First of all, they're far more believable than he is. And secondly, this is a very serious crime that they're alleging. But what's interesting is in denying the crime, Donald Trump actually admitted something else. Mika and Joe say that the National Enquirer said they were going to harass them unless they were nicer to Donald Trump. And if they personally apologized to the president, they would spike the story. That's the allegation. And again, I believe them. Donald Trump responded by tweet, and his response said, and I can't do the Donald Trump voice, watch low-rated Morning Joe for first time in long time. I got to work on my Donald Trump voice. Fake news. He called me to stop a National Enquirer article. I said no. Bad show. Think about what just Donald said here. He denied not that he would use the National Enquirer to punish them. He said he wouldn't stop the article. What he's basically admitting is he has the power to spike a National Enquirer article. I want you to think about what that means. He's saying, yes, of course I have control of the National Enquirer. I didn't use it to harm you, but of course I have control of the National Enquirer. And in fact, he does. And that's why I wanted to explore the history of Donald Trump and the National Enquirer. Because Donald Trump has been talking to the National Enquirer ever since he pretended to be his own publicist named John Miller, right? He would call it up and say, I'm Donald Trump's publicist, John Miller. Then he'd talk negatively about, you know, the various women that he was sleeping with. And people loved it. The Enquirer loved it. The tabloids loved it, right? He's rich. He's nasty. He loves attention. He's flamboyant. In fact, in his first, when he was cheating on his first wife, he spread false claims that he was dating various models. By the way, a lot of this is coming from a really good story in the New Republic by Jeet Heer called Donald Trump and the Weaponization of Gossip, which I strongly recommend that you read. But he also was using the National Enquirer to punish others. Salma Hayek says that Donald Trump planted a false story about her in the National Enquirer because she turned him down for a date. Ted Cruz has said that Donald Trump is the reason why there was a National Enquirer story claiming that Cruz's father had something to do with the Kennedy assassination. And the reason all of this makes sense is that Donald Trump has a very strong friendship with the chief executive of the corporation that owns the National Enquirer, a guy by the name of David Pecker. Can't make these names up. In fact, very, very, very few newspapers endorsed Donald Trump in the last election. Across the country, I think there were like five, you know, thousands endorsed Hillary Clinton. But one of them was the National Enquirer. And I want you to think about what a fascist does in trying to control the press. One of the first things a fascist does is they try to conflate legitimate news media with fake news media and pretend they're all one and the same. Because the goal of a fascist or a dictator, someone like Vladimir Putin, is to leave people that they cannot know which way is truth. They cannot know which way is up. I don't know how many of you have gone scuba diving. I've gone scuba diving. And if you go deep down in the scuba, when you at the top, the sun shines through. It's light in the water. But as you go deep, deep underwater, you largely can tell which way is up because of the way sort of your body floats. But if you go deep down, there's actually a condition where you can lose track of which way is up. And it's very, very dangerous. Because if your sense of balance is off and you lose track of which way is up, you know, and because of the way the weights are, without getting too much into scuba, you could actually think down is up and up is down. That disorienting effect is exactly what Donald Trump is trying to do. It's exactly what George Orwell writes about in 1984. It's exactly why the dictator in 1984 is trying to convince Winston, the protagonist, to say out loud 2 + 2 = 5. Because if you could get him to say 2 + 2 = 5, a clear mathematical fact that everyone knows to be false, once you get someone to say something they know to be false and claim it's true, you have control over everything they do. You may remember the slogans of Big Brother: war is peace, ignorance is strength, freedom is slavery. So by equating CNN with this trash, the National Enquirer, or Breitbart News, it's all part of tricking his base into not knowing which way is up, getting scuba blindness, as it were. And I would say it's working for them. That's why you have the tweet literally bashing CNN, right? Bashing with his fist, CNN. And that's why you have the threatened blackmail of Joe and Mika. But it's more than that. The National Enquirer, this joke of a newspaper, only unlike The Onion, it's not made to be funny. They were the ones with headlines that Hillary Clinton was corrupt and racist and a criminal. They're exposing Megyn Kelly when Megyn Kelly dared to criticize Donald Trump. There are National Enquirer articles, and again, you can see the cover story in this New Republic article. Hillary, 6 months to live, they said a year ago. They also, this is really interesting, they've also paid people to shut up. Richard Nixon would have called it hush money. But Donald Trump's friends, the National Enquirer, paid $150,000 to a former Playboy centerfold, Karen McDougal. Karen McDougal says that she had an affair with Donald Trump that lasted many months while he was married to Melania. Okay? So he didn't just cheat on his first wife and his second wife. He cheated on his third wife. And the Enquirer paid her $150,000 not to tell her story. What do you think about that one? The whole goal of a tabloid, you would think, is to sell magazines. And a salacious story about how Donald Trump cheated on his third wife, I would think, would sell a bunch of magazines. They didn't pay her to print the story. They paid her to shut up. According to the New Republic article, Trump has the same relationship with the TMZ reports. He can get them to shut down negative stories without explanation and to write really nasty false things about his accusers. The TMZ claimed that one woman who was attacking Donald Trump had an online sex shop. You know, wasn't true. The point is that this control of the media is not accidental. Now, some say Donald Trump just fell into this, right? He has made a career out of being flamboyant, out of being outlandish, and that's true, and he likes a lot of attention. And so this was sort of a symbiotic relationship that he had with the tabloids, and I think that's true as well. But whether or not he came by it by accident, no one can doubt the power of anyone in power to use the media to his advantage. So Republicans can't understand why Donald Trump doesn't stop tweeting. I understand it. One, he's a narcissist and wants a lot of attention. Okay. But number two, it's also because he wants to change the subject. We're not focused on Russia. Right now, there is an article in the Wall Street Journal. This is Rupert Murdoch's newspaper, right? This is not some liberal or even neutral newspaper. Wall Street Journal is detailing exactly how Donald Trump's guy were cited by this guy named Peter Smith as a way for him to be a conduit for Hillary's emails. He was working with the Russian hackers to try to promote opposition research for the Trump campaign. This is serious stuff. And everyone's focused on the tweets. We need to understand this media manipulation. We need to focus on it. We need to compare it to dictators like Vladimir Putin. This is not an accident. And the blackmail of Mika and Joe is far more important in the longer scheme of things than his sexist nonsense. Yes, Donald Trump is a misogynist. Anyone surprised? The Access Hollywood tape and the actual sexual assault that he did of women is far more severe than the sexist things he says about Megyn Kelly or Mika Brzezinski. Obviously, I'm not defending them. But the point is, the fact that Donald Trump is sexist and cruel is not news. What is news is how Donald Trump manipulates the news. And that's what I wanted to focus on today. You want to call in? It's 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. I'll be right back right after.
Rumor has it he quotes the Constitution in his sleep. Is it super nerd? No, it's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, talking about media manipulation. Donald Trump is the master, and how it is that he is doing techniques not that dissimilar from Vladimir Putin to try to attack the press. Let's go to Old Faithful. I haven't talked to you in a while. Michael, line two in the Bronx. How are you, Michael?
Hey, Mark. You know, I am pretty outraged at what the hell has been going on here from the attack towards the Morning Joe host. I thought that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And then 24 to 48 hours later, we see the tweet of footage from WrestleMania, and
right.
Trump again inciting violence there, clotheslining an individual, which I must disclose to everybody, the individual that he clotheslined was the WWE chairman,
right.
Vince McMahon.
Right, I said all that in the first part of the show. I mean, it's
and did you
that's right. Tell
about Linda.
Oh, that's right. I didn't point that out. You're right. He appointed Linda McMahon to be his head of the Small Business Administration. That's a fair point I should bring out.
So where's the right wing crying out about, you know, conflict of interest now? They want to make up these conflict of interest when it comes to Hillary, when it came to Obama.
I'll tell you something else that's interesting.
Yeah,
about Hillary is that, you know, this Wall Street Journal article about the collusion between the Trump campaign and how they were actively trying to get Hillary's emails. And what I find really fascinating is that the Russians were able to hack into the DNC servers. They were able to hack into the RNC servers. They were able to hack into, you know, Podesta's private email. The one thing, and they were trying really hard to get, was Hillary's emails. The thing that everyone was complaining about was Hillary made her emails unsecure. That private server has haven't found a single email from that private server.
Much more serious. There's something much, much more serious than that, Mark. And that is that everybody denounced, or should I say criticized, Kathy Griffin for her rhetoric, her tasteless joke of a supposedly beheaded Trump and all that. But I don't hear the right-wingers crying out foul when it came to that particular clip from WrestleMania and his attack towards Rima. In fact, they're saying, they're cheering him on, and they say, oh, well, he's always been attacked, and the president never incites violence.
I am worried. You know, when I think about how he trapped all the press in the pen at his rallies, and he would get the crowd to, you know, shout at them and threaten them. This is all, again, very much akin to what Vladimir Putin did. I fear there's going to be an attack. I'll just say it right now before it happens. I fear that some person is going to take Donald Trump's rhetoric and go too far and commit violence against a member of the press. Let no one say we didn't see it coming, because I certainly see it coming. Thank you for your call, Michael. I'm going to very briefly go to Reggie, line one in Georgia. Hey, Reggie, not much time. Make your point like 15 seconds. Go.
Well, I would just like to know that you got people like such as Kimberly Guilfoyle from the Five saying that Joe and Mika deserved, that they're loving all this attention and the attacks that they're getting from Donald Trump. They're just loving it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. They may have sought the limelight 2 years ago when they were helping promoting his campaign. But committing blackmail is a serious act. It is a crime. It is a felony. A good reason to impeach a president. This is Mark Levine. Have a happy July 4th. I'll be back on Wednesday.